Pantano Church, I am so excited today as we are continuing our series Manifest. And here's why I think this is so critical. Because I believe that what the world needs most right now, it's found in Galatians 5. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And for those of us that are Christ followers, the fruit of the Spirit is a byproduct of the Spirit at work within us. So Galatians 5 provides this really critical litmus test to evaluate, are we allowing the Spirit to form us, to form our character, to be more and more like Jesus? But I'm curious, out of that list, what do you believe that the world needs most right now? If you're watching online, let us know what you think. You can simply type your answer in the chat box there. Do you know what I believe that the world needs most right now? Peace. Part of every year, my rhythm is I spend the last several weeks of the year reflecting on that year before the calendar turns. So that process has started for me. Do you remember how hopeful we all were at the beginning of 2021? It's almost laughable now, right? That we were so excited to put the train wreck that was 2020 behind us and to get back to some sense of normal. But here's the reality, that for many of us, 2021 has actually been a lot harder than even 2020. It's certainly not a competition, that's just simply been my experience. Even just yesterday morning, I woke up to the sobering news that dozens of people had lost their lives in Kentucky. And that's the reality right now, right? Grief continues to intensify. The losses just continue to mount. Suffering feels relentless. The pressure on relationships just continues to increase. And the future feels as uncertain now as ever. I think for me, naivety was wrecked when I realized that this is actually our new normal. Emotionally, life feels a lot like this giant rubber band ball, a chaotic, tangled mess of emotion that each of us are carrying around with, that we don't know how to make sense of, we don't know how to process. It sits like a pit in our stomach, like pressure on our chest, making it hard to breathe, hard to have hope, certainly hard to experience peace. Have you ever watched those videos where they wrap the rubber bands around the watermelon until eventually the pressure causes the watermelon to explode? It's as entertaining as it sounds. And isn't that the perfect metaphor for our lives right now? So much pressure, so much stress. I was thinking about the pressure in our lives. And there's a lot of things that contribute to stress and pressure in our home. One of those is parenting, right? Anybody hear what I'm saying? Parenting. Now, my kids are here. I love them. I do, but they cause a few gray hairs. One of the things that we face this year is that my daughter, she's 16, and she just started learning to drive just recently. Now, I have no idea how you all have survived this, seriously. Like, it is terrifying. I was so stressed. I had to let my husband do most of the teaching because I just felt too stressed, and then I would stress her out, and it was just terrible, right? Here's the thing that keeps me up at night. Not only is my kid out there on the road, but so are all of yours. Think about that. That's frightening, right? You know what that is? That's a lot of pressure and stress. Maybe you don't have a 16-year-old, maybe you don't relate to that, but let's think about other things that are causing pressure and stress right now. Is anybody hosting Christmas dinner? All right. Now, some of you probably have to host for the in-laws. Okay, now that's scary, no matter what year it is. But let's talk about how complicated that is in 2021. Because no doubt, at Christmas dinner, there will be talk of vaccinations and mandates and masks. Maybe if we're really looking for a good time, we could talk about who we voted for in the last election. maybe we could give an evaluation of how we think the current guy is doing, right? Because that's what every Christmas meal needs, a little more political conversation, right? Family dynamics right now feel like a lot of pressure, a lot of stress. And it's not just there. Some of us are worried about our jobs, our business. Will it survive the pandemic? Some are facing increasing demands, unrealistic expectations at work. Maybe like me, you have an immune-compromised parent or grandparent. And the ongoing pandemic just feels so scary. Or maybe it's financial stress this time of year. I know most of us are facing that. There's more going out than coming in, and we're facing increasing demands and obligations. We don't know how we're going to make ends meet. All the pressure and the stress, the uncertainty, it creates this low-grade fear, this edginess. You can't relax. Peace feels temporary. You don't sleep well. You don't laugh much. You just feel wound tight. You know what this is? This is anxiety. Anxiety that consumes your thoughts and your focus and your energy. But church, here's the reality, that even as hard as the last 2 years have been, this is actually not a new problem. Here are some sobering statistics about anxiety. And this was actually pre-pandemic. There are 40 million adults who experience anxiety. That's over 18% of the U.S. population. And if, like me, it's hard for you to wrap your mind around big numbers, let's just think about our church family. That means between those here in the room and those watching online, there are several hundred who are experiencing anxiety. The total annual cost of anxiety disorders, it's estimated at $45 billion. That's per year. Anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness in the U.S. It's number one among women today, and among men, it's number two behind simply drugs and alcohol. You know what that means? Men, you're just better at numbing, at escaping the pain. What does the world plagued by anxiety need most right now? Peace. Peace, we're desperate for it, we're searching for it, but even worse, we seem to have no idea where to find it. At some point over the last year, I had a restless night of sleep, and I don't know what it was. Maybe it was anxiety. Maybe I just have really bad genetics. Maybe I drank too much coffee that day. I have no idea. But here's what I do remember. I woke up in the middle of the night, and John 16:33 came to my heart and to my mind. And church, as a side note, that's the power of memorizing scripture, because it's there when you need it the most. In John 16:33, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's preparing them for the suffering that they would experience. And here's what he says. Jesus says, "I have told you these things so that in me you have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." I have overcome the world. Jesus does two things here as he's speaking to his disciples. The first thing he does is he guarantees problems, but then he promises peace. He guarantees problems, and then he promises peace. The word for trouble here, it means distress, anguish, suffering. We can also add fears, worries, anxieties. Jesus is saying, you will experience trouble. You will face hard things. It's inevitable. You cannot escape it. It's part of being human. But then he also says, you can have peace. How? Jesus answers it there. He says, in me. In me. So if you reflect on your life just over the last couple of weeks, I'm curious, what's robbing you of peace? What's robbing you of peace, and where have you been searching for it? Because Jesus is clear, you're not going to find it in a bottle or a bank account. You're not going to find it in a relationship. You won't find it in certainty or control or security about your future. There is one place that we will find peace. It is in him. It is in him. So what does it mean to have peace in him? There's two things I want you to see today. We can have peace with God, and we can have peace from God, but both of those will be found in him. The first thing is peace with God. Isaiah 9:6 is a prophecy about when a Messiah, a king, would come, and this is exactly what we celebrate at Christmas time. Here's what that prophecy says: "For to us a child is born. To us, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Again, this isn't just a sweet sentiment that we sing about at Christmas time. This is a prophecy about Jesus, about the coming king. And when Jesus was born, people had been holding on to this promise for 750 years. And there were a lot of different ideas about how God would bring his kingdom, but he shocked the world when his kingdom of peace came as a baby in a manger. And what we celebrate at Christmas is that ultimately we have peace with God because of Christ. Paul says it this way: "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." That is our salvation, our hope, our peace, is that we can be made right with God because of Christ. We believe that our sin has separated us from a relationship with God, but Jesus makes a way to restore that relationship, to have a right relationship with God, to be at peace with God. And because of that peace, we have salvation then for eternity. Amen. So first, having peace in him means that we are at peace with him. I love the way that scripture says that we are no longer enemies of God. We are friends. That's what it means to be at peace with God. We are friends of God. And it's only by being at peace with God that we can then have peace from God. That's the second thing I want you to see today. Peace in him means that we can have peace from him. If we look back at the book of John, chapter 14 this time, again, Jesus was preparing his disciples for his death. This time he is promising them the gift of the Holy Spirit when he leaves. And he says this: "But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all these things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." It's interesting here that in referring to the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you." Why? Because it is not possible to experience peace apart from the Spirit of God. Jesus is saying, if you have my spirit, you will manifest peace. But why doesn't it feel like that then? For so many of us, why does it feel like even those of us who are Christ followers, we're carrying around this giant messy ball of anxiety, wound up tight, stressed, overwhelmed, fearful, and worried? What is robbing us of our peace, and why is the fruit of peace not more evident in our lives? The tendency is to say it's because of our circumstances. But here's why I don't believe that is true, is because Jesus guarantees us problems, but he also promises peace. He guarantees problems, but he promises peace. Anxiety feels like this plague. And there are a lot of different theories about why we are all so anxious right now. It doesn't feel really meaningful to give you an exhaustive list. So I just want to offer you one pretty interesting, pretty relevant idea about why I believe that so many of us aren't living in the peace that we were promised and what to do about it. So to start that conversation, let's talk about some simple math. The average American adult watches TV or videos online for about 5 to 6 hours a day. The average millennial, let's say just 25 to 40, is on his or her phone for up to 4 hours a day. Now that adds up to almost a decade of your life. Barna's recent research on millennials found that they spend almost 2,800 hours a year consuming digital content. Now, to put that into perspective, it's about 116 days. That's a third of our year that we are spending consuming digital content. But here's the kicker. Only 153 hours of that is Christ-based content. That's just over 6 days a year. So for those of you that like math, that means that roughly 5% of the content we consume is Christ-based content, and the other 95% is this internet cornucopia of Netflix, YouTube, social media, Apple, and others. What is the point? We don't have peace because we are investing so much time, so much attention, so much energy in things other than Jesus, things that will not bring us peace. Let's go back to the John 16:33 passage. Jesus says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus, it seems, implies here that peace is optional. He says, you may have peace. It's almost as if Jesus is saying, you can have it if you want it, but you're going to have to come to me. Because I have something that the world does not have, that the world cannot give you. Jesus is clear that the peace we are searching for, the peace that we are desperate for, it will be found in him. What this world is offering, what is consuming hours of our lives and our focus and our energy, it is a distraction and it is based in fear and chaos and lies. It is in him that our hearts and souls get untangled, that this messy ball of emotions and problems and pain and suffering connects with a present God who gives peace and hope regardless of our circumstances. Amen. Our friend Carlos Whitaker, he was here in 2018, and he said it this way. We should spend our time gazing at God and glancing at life. Gazing at God and glancing at life, but church, so many of us have this backwards. We are spending our lives gazing at the world and only glancing at God occasionally, but we will not find the peace we're desperate for in the world. We will only find it in Christ and in the Prince of Peace. And if we're serious about finding peace in him, our lives have to reflect that priority and that purpose. We have to anchor ourselves in his presence. It is not optional, and it has to look like a shift in our time, our priorities, our commitments. As disciples, we have to allow his spirit and his truth to form us, not the world, because we will never become more like Jesus that way. So what does it look like to practically find peace in him? There are two primary ways that I'm able to consistently find peace in him. And there's nothing magical about it. There's no crazy secret here. It's time with him. It's prayer, and it's reading his word. All the hours we spend consuming digital content that we talked about earlier, that creates a habit. And so to get into a new habit, we need practice. We need intentionality. And if you want to begin that practice, if you want to strengthen that practice, I want to invite you to text the word peace to the number 46356. Just text peace to the number 46356. You'll get something you can download there. It's a really practical tool that can allow you to daily refocus your heart on the Prince of Peace. And the guide will walk you through the process of comparing the lies of the world to the truth of God's word as a way to invite more peace into your life. And I've used this guide over the last several months, and it has been an incredibly meaningful way to invite more of the Spirit, more of the truth into my heart as I brought him my messy soul, because so often this is what our hearts and our souls feel like. But Jesus promises, in me, you will have peace. In me, you will have peace. Several years ago, my mom started experiencing health problems. And it started out relatively harmless. She would get sick for a few days, and then she would recover. And it would feel like everything would return to normal. But as the hospital visits started to increase, as they became more frequent, it was apparent that something more significant was going on. And she was actually at a hospital here in Tucson. She was visiting, and the GI doc recommended that she get this procedure where they put a camera down her throat to get a better idea of what was going on. And so she was prepped for this simple routine procedure in the summer of 2018. And the doctor went down just for a few moments, and he came out, and he immediately called my dad. He had found precancerous cells in my mom's pancreas. Now, there's no timeline for when precancerous cells become cancerous. And I probably don't have to tell you this, but if you know anything about pancreatic cancer, it is a death sentence. Surgery to have my mom's pancreas removed was scheduled for September 2018. This is a major surgery. In fact, many in our family, we didn't even know you could live without a pancreas. And so there was a lot of fear, first, if she would survive this major surgery. It's also incredibly rare. There's just a handful of these every year. And then we were worried if she did survive, how would it impact the quality of her life? Because without a pancreas, you become a type 1 diabetic, and she would be insulin dependent the rest of her life. And in this season, I experienced more anxiety, more fear than I had ever had in my life. And it just felt like this constant pressure sitting on my chest, making it hard to breathe. I struggled to focus. I had difficulty being productive. I certainly had trouble praying. And at some point in this season, I stumbled upon something called a breath prayer. And this breath prayer became my lifeline. A breath prayer is an ancient prayer practice where you inhale a name of God and exhale what you need from God. It's just a few short syllables. And in this season, my breath prayer became this: Prince of Peace, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, what we speak about, what we sing about, what we celebrate at Christmas time, it simply means God with us. So every day, what felt like hundreds of times a day, I would pray this simple prayer like a mantra: Prince of Peace, Emmanuel. When I couldn't find the words to pray, I would simply breathe, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel. When I felt overwhelmed, when fear of the future, when panic would start to rise, I would just pray, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, as a way to remind myself that God was with me, that he has not left me, that he has not forgotten me or abandoned me, that he is for me, that he is with my mom every step of the way. Prince of Peace, Emmanuel. The name of God and what you need from God, so simple. And yet Jesus met me in that prayer again and again and again. It's how I found myself in him. How I came to him again and again and said, God, I surrender. God, I trust you regardless of my circumstances. And church, that's the reality, that in your moment of greatest need, in your storm, in your struggle, he is peace and he is presence, and that is enough. Because he promises us that it's in him that we will have peace. That's where our peace will come from. It's not in this world. It's certainly not in our circumstances. It is in him. Before we go on, I just want you to know that my mom is doing great right now. She is. Thank you. In fact, better than I could have ever imagined. But I will tell you this, that's not actually what God promises. Remember, he guarantees problems, he promises peace. And so I'm very aware of the fact that things could have turned out differently. And yet God's truth remains. And so I'm grateful for every moment with my mom. I don't take that for granted. You know what else I'm grateful for? Is the way that Jesus met me in that moment. Again and again, how patient he was with me, how kind he was, how faithful he was. Every time I could do was muster a breath prayer. And he was so, so good. As we close today, I want to speak to those who struggle with anxiety. Because based on the statistics I read earlier, there are many in this room, many of you watching online. And for some of you, it's circumstantial. For others, it's because of trauma. Maybe still others, you feel like it's genetic, the way that you're wired, the way you've always been. And I think it's important for you to hear me say this because I don't want to be misunderstood that there are no easy answers. There are no quick fixes. There are no simple solutions because you're suffering your pain. It's real. It's real. And many of you really love Jesus and struggle with anxiety, and it's possible for both to be true. And so I don't want you to feel shame about that. But I do think it's important today that I remind you of this truth, that Jesus loves you, that he has not forgotten you, and he has not abandoned you. And in our faith, I think, though there are no easy answers, I think it is important for us to hold tension. And it's this idea that there are two promises that can be true, that they're not contradicting, they're not competing, even though maybe at face value, it seems that way. And so if you experience anxiety, I want you to leave today with two promises. Here's the first one, that we can have peace from God, that he is the Prince of Peace. We can find peace in him. That's his promise, that we have access to that peace because of the Spirit of God that lives within us. It's available to us. That's the first thing I want you to hold on to. But here's the second thing. Maybe it's even more important today. It was written by Paul in Corinthians, and it's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Now, if you know anything about Paul, you know he was a man who experienced significant suffering and pain. And there's this moment in Scripture where he's talking to God, and he talks about a thorn in his side. And we don't know what that thorn in his side is, but I think that's a pretty good metaphor for anxiety. It can feel like a thorn in our side. And Paul begs God, he says, take it away. And God says, no, no. But I will give you this promise. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. In your weakness. What does that mean? It's not when our lives are void of struggle. It's not when we have it all together. His power isn't made perfect when our lives are perfectly calm or when we are unfazed about the future. No, his power is made perfect in our weakness, in our suffering, in our struggles, in our trials, in our moment of greatest need. That's when God does his best work because his power is made perfect in our weakness. When it feels like we are drowning, when it feels like the world is caving in, if we can learn to call out to him, to reach out our hand, he is faithful to rescue us in that moment, to meet us with his grace and his love and his power, because his power is made perfect in our weakness. So if you've struggled with anxiety, if God hasn't taken that away, if he hasn't healed you, if he hasn't set you free, my prayer today is that you see the anxiety as an invitation to live more deeply connected to Jesus. To experience that anxiety as an opportunity to live surrendered, to trust every day in these two things, that his peace will become our peace and that his power is made perfect in our weakness. As we close today, I just want to invite you to stand all across this room. Even those of you watching online, I would love for you to stand with me. There are two groups of people that I want to pray for today. The first one is those of you who need peace from God. The stress, the fear, the anxiety, it feels overwhelming. Church, Jesus promises peace, but it will only be found in him. And so if that's you, if you need peace today, I just want to invite you to hold out your hands, palms down, as an act of surrender, of letting go. We're going to take a moment just to do that right now, to release the burdens that we've been carrying that aren't ours to carry. And sometimes it even helps me to imagine the large, capable, kind hands of God under mine. We are just releasing the stress, the fears of the future, the uncertainty. God, we come to you and we bring you our messy hearts, our racing thoughts, our anxious souls, God, and we leave it here in your hands, in your capable, faithful, kind hands. God, we surrender our families to you, our children, our fears for our marriage, our future, our health, our parents, our grandparents. God, we surrender that to you. We trust you with our jobs. We trust you with our finances. God, you are in control. And we release it. We surrender to you. And when you're ready, you can simply turn your hands over. In a posture of receiving, God, we receive your peace. We receive your peace. And even if we have to come back to this place again and again and again, God, we know that you are faithful to meet us here. And so we pray that you would be our Prince of Peace in this season, that your peace that passes all understanding would guard our hearts and our minds. God, thank you for your promise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There's one more group of people I want to pray for today. Some of you desperately want peace from God, but you haven't yet experienced peace with God. And maybe you've been looking for happiness and peace in so many different areas, but it just hasn't worked. Maybe the anxiety that we've talked about today, it has been robbing you of your life. You find yourself numbing to escape the emotional pain. But that's just going to simply leave you feeling empty and alone, broken. Why? Because we were all created by God to know God. And nothing but God will really satisfy. So if you recognize that something is missing, if you're looking for something more, if you don't have it, but you want it, you can simply step away from your sin, step toward God. Because he is faithful. When you call on him to hear your prayers, to forgive you of your sins, and to make you brand new. This Christmas season, it's not just about gifts and trees and Santa. It's certainly not about the pressure and stress that so many of us feel this time of year. For those of us that are Christ followers, Christmas is a celebration of the birth of our King, our Savior, our Messiah, our eternal hope, our Prince of Peace. You know what I love about Christmas? The cross is not possible if first Jesus doesn't come in a manger. And in that act, he was expressing the deepest, most profound love for you. And so if you're here, if you don't have peace with God, but you want it, I believe this is your moment right here, that Jesus has been waiting for you, that you're not here by accident, but it's this invitation right here. So I just want to invite all of us to bow our heads, close our eyes. If you are in this room and that's you, you want forgiveness, if you need his grace, we're going to say a prayer together. If you're watching online, you can simply connect with your chat host. Let them know that you want to give your life to Jesus. Church, let's all pray this together. Just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, forgive all my sins. Jesus, save me. Be first in my life. Fill me with your Spirit so I can know you and serve you and follow you for the rest of my life. Lead me in your ways to love like you love and live like you live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Church, can we celebrate all those that made a decision today? No doubt, that is the best decision that you will make. My journey of faith started with a decision just like that many, many years ago. Church, I just want you to know that we love you, that we are praying for you this holiday season, that you would experience the Prince of Peace, that he would be Lord of your life. And so today, I just pray that you would go in peace today. Amen? Amen. Thank you, church.